In 2018, the Me Too movement raised our awareness of sexual harassment and assault within and outside of the workplace. But awareness alone isn't enough to make systemic change. So we're taking a look at the successes and failures of state laws that took the movement beyond a hashtag. Maya Ragu is the Director of Workplace Equality for the National Women's Law Center. Maya, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Tanzina. It's great to be here.
So I love this idea that we went beyond the hashtag and actually into policy. Let's take a look at the big picture. Over the past year, how much of a nationwide push was there for new laws related to Me Too?
It was much broader than I think most people are aware of. In the last year, states and cities have really stepped up to lead the way in passing reforms to address workplace harassment. States across the country introduced over 100 bills last year, and 11 actually passed legislation addressing common problems and barriers that a lot of victims face in the workplace.
Now, of course, we know that there are many ways to define workplace harassment, but were there some common themes in terms of defining it and what people were looking for in terms of changing these environments?
Yes. And, you know, the National Women's Law Center Fund houses the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, which is celebrating its one-year anniversary tomorrow. And the thousands of requests from assistants that have come in have sort of reflected some common themes that we've also heard from workers around the country. And one of them is that there's still a lot of fear and secrecy about sexual harassment and sexual assault in the workplace. But it's not an accident, and that's because employers have been using these tools that have ended up silencing victims, making them afraid to come forward, and really hiding the true extent of harassment in a workplace. And so that's part of what a lot of states and cities focused on this past year in terms of policy, and a lot of states actually passed legislation to address that. And one of those things, one of those tools that employers use are non-disclosure agreements, or NDAs.
So let's talk about these NDAs, or non-disclosure agreements. What are they? How have they been used by employers? And how are you trying to change that?
So NDAs are agreements, or they're parts of agreements, that prevent people from talking about certain things or disclosing certain information. People are asked to sign NDAs at the time they are hired for a job. And these NDAs say, you know, they can't talk to their coworkers about harassment or discrimination. They can't come together to challenge it. They can't go to a civil rights agency or law enforcement to report assault or discrimination. People are also being asked to sign NDAs in the context of settlement agreements. So let's say someone actually has come forward to make a complaint. The employer is trying to resolve that, and they end up settling. Those settlements frequently contain clauses that say that the employee can't talk to anyone about the facts of their case or where it happened or what happened.
Why are people signing these? I mean, are they becoming more and more popular?
They are becoming more and more common. People are signing them because in many cases they don't have a choice. You know, particularly for people in low-wage jobs, they may not have the resources to hire an attorney to negotiate an employment contract for them or to negotiate a settlement agreement. So if you really need a job to support your family, maybe you're not reading the employment contract that you're signing, you don't really have a choice. You need that job. So a lot of people accept them without really understanding what they're signing away or the consequences of it.
What are some of the states that have made significant moves here when it comes to improving working conditions and really addressing harassment in the workplace?
So, you know, it's not just California and New York, which is what most people would think. We've actually seen movement on a variety of issues in states across the country. So on the issue of NDAs, you know, places like Arizona, Tennessee, and Vermont, and Washington State pass laws to either ban NDAs in employment contracts or to limit their use in settlements. We saw several states, including Maryland and Washington State, try to address the use of forced arbitration in employment contracts, which means employees have to give up their day in court and have to take employment disputes to a private process that's largely controlled by employers. We saw action in many states, including Delaware, New York State, and Vermont, to extend protections to more workers. You know, what's been interesting in the last year is a lot of people either aren't aware of their rights when it comes to harassment and discrimination, or they think they're protected by the laws when they actually aren't. So, for example, people who work in the gig economy, independent contractors, interns, people who aren't in traditional employment relationships aren't fully protected by our federal civil rights laws. So a lot of states stepped up in the last year to extend that protection, and also to people who work in small workplaces.
And we know the Me Too movement hashtag really took flight this year, but it's something that's been around for at least more than a decade with Tarana Burke at the helm there. One of the questions I have is, you know, because it's been around for so long, because this isn't an issue that's going to go away quickly, what is it that women and or men, or employees, should I say, should do or can do if they feel that they need help?
So one of the things that they can do is to call the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, where there's a network of attorneys across the country who are volunteering their time, who have agreed to give a free legal consultation to people who have been victims of sexual harassment and retaliation in the workplace, so that people can learn about their rights and about their options. We know that not everyone wants to file a lawsuit. A lot of people
can't afford to, right? I mean, there's fear, Maya. Isn't there?
Yes.
Like, isn't there fear of retaliation, as you said, or fear of not being able to afford a lawyer, afford to take out a lawsuit? And I think most people would say they're fearful for their future job prospects.
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the biggest barriers that we're seeing, is that people are afraid, with good reason, of coming forward to talk about sexual harassment and assault, because it's a huge risk to their personal safety, to their jobs and their careers if they do so. You know, you mentioned retaliation, which is when employers take negative actions against people who do complain. You know, people gain a reputation as a, quote, troublemaker.
Difficult.
They're blackballed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're blackballed from other jobs and their industry. So it drives a lot of people out of their jobs, out of their careers. It has these long-term economic impacts that, you know, we should be talking more about. Retaliation is against the law, right? But the problem is that the law isn't being enforced enough. So there's still a lot of fear of coming forward. And then a lot of people who do want to find out about their rights, and a lot of people have been empowered to do that in the last year because of Me Too, oftentimes are coming forward for the first time in 5, 10, 20 years to talk about this and to see what they can do, and find out that they've run out of time to do anything about it and their legal options, because the time frame for filing a complaint with a civil rights agency is really short. It's between, you know, 6 months to a year.
Really? That's short. Okay.
Yeah. And it takes time. You know, for a lot of people, they're working through trauma. They're trying to decide if they want to take any steps because they're afraid of retaliation. And then they find out, you know, you're timed out. You have very few legal options, which is incredibly disappointing. So we're also seeing states trying to address that by increasing the length of time to file a claim, so people at least have that option. And that's something that we're going to see more of in the next year.
Maya Raghu is the Director of Workplace Equality for the National Women's Law Center. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.